It's the feast day of St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher. More importantly, it's also the 22nd of June and day two of the Lincolnshire Show 2023. We're back with Alan Stennett. How are you, Alan?
I'm fine. I think you have too much information there.
Well, just for anybody who's interested in those martyrs back in the day.
Well, if you like to study those kind of things, I've been talking not very long ago to somebody who was writing their thesis on early Christian martyrs, so I could no doubt find you somebody to talk on that subject if you'd like.
You see, Alan, this is the joy of doing your good self as a feature interviewee. You can bring all those details together. But let's focus on why we're also here, which is the Lincolnshire Show 2023. Yesterday seemed to be, I'll say the word perfect in so many ways. There were lots of really wonderful activities going on. We spoke to Stuart and his sheep and dog and duck sort of shows. He was delighted to be back after obviously having lockdown in Australia and lots of other areas. The general vibe was very positive. From your own perspective, a success?
We had an absolutely great day yesterday. I was walking around quite late on in the day, and there were still people sitting around on the banks around the ring. There were folk talking to the exhibitors, so I think the food court was still busy. It was a fantastic day. The weather was ideal, providing you don't have to, as we do, wear a suit around the place, but you're stuck with that kind of thing. Yeah, fantastic, and we had a great time organising the Rural Vintage Transport Parade. I had the experience of walking down the lanes here in front of a very large traction engine, and I thought, where is my red flag?
I was just going to say, absolutely essential to actually have the red flag, but never mind. I was particularly impressed yesterday, as I always am, by the Shetland Pony Grand National. We even had riders falling off horses. I mean, it was there's so much energy and drive in that. It's a phenomenal.
It was amazing, yes. And another radio station whose name I forbear to mention were out on the band there trying to do interviews to the background of the Shetland racing. No, that was not
a game. Have more training back in the day, really, but never mind. It's another line.
Our experience works there.
Yeah. maybe they just less time on cardboard cutouts, but no, let's not go there. In terms of the progression of the show, I mean, clearly this is so important to the rural area, the infrastructure, and so on. We probably catch up today with Sirens, in a sense, main sponsor, only sponsor, really. That's the University of Lincoln. They're also one of the sponsors of the show, etc. And our new vice chancellor, not so new now, actually, he's into his second year, but Neil Jester has been talking very much about the plan to 2027 and having a focus on rurality. Something which I think has also been echoed, as our station manager Ryan Jones has pointed out, with the incoming bishop of Lincoln as well. So those things are slotting together. So despite all the doom and gloom that's out of that, I think the future is fairly bright. Your own thoughts?
I think it is at the moment. I don't like that overemphasis on rurality. I mean, given the county the way it is, we have one major city and another major conurbation in it, but everything else blends together. If you... some years ago, when I was doing an Open University course, we were looking at rural distribution, and Lincolnshire absolutely fits the patterns. Market towns, roughly 17 to 20 miles apart, scatter of villages in between them, and they're all integrated. You know, you can't just say, yes, all right, we are the most important farming county in Britain. Farming is vital here. But unless you've got the services to go with it, unless you've got the community benefits, you know, it doesn't really work. You have to look at a county like Lincolnshire as a whole. Rural, obviously. Seaside, fantastic. You know, you've got to take Lincolnshire and do the whole thing.
Which is one of the reasons why I think on our list of location reports this summer will be a visit to Horncastle to check out the Joseph Banks Museum, something which my students have been working with this year, and they have said you must come over and see it. So lots of exciting things there.
Oh, amazing. And while you're in Horncastle, you ought to look at Lincolnshire's vintage shops centre. All kinds of, you might call them antiques and you might call them junk, but it's an amazing place. Go and have a look at all of those things.
And all of those things have been crystallised and coalesced in the Lincolnshire Show. Already planning will be going ahead for Lincolnshire Show 2024. Is there anything you can share with us? Any sneak peeks? Or is it just a case of, look, I need to have a lie down now in a darkened room and then I'll get back to you?
As far as I'm concerned, I keep this hat on and I start thinking about the Heckington Show, which is my next one. So from that point of view, no, I don't know of major plans. You know, we sit down, there'll be a council meeting, there'll be show committee meetings, we will review the event, what did work, what perhaps didn't work but is essential. You have to work your way through all of these kind of things, and then you have to say, right, we've done 138 of them, so we must be doing something right. You don't make big changes, but yes, incremental, it will happen.
Alan, always a pleasure, a genuine delight. I always think you should have on your badge Chief Steward as opposed to just Steward. Somehow that always needs to be addressed, really, from that point of view. And of course, you did receive a New Year honour. I mean, because officially there's not a gong that you've received, is there not?
I have got the British Empire Medal, but
exactly.
That was a couple of years ago.
I thought
now,
so, exactly. But BEM is actually there, not Bug Eyed Monster, but British Empire Medal. We just wanted to clarify.
There are many people who might sort of be dubious about that one. Services to agriculture and journalism, which I thought was quite nice.
Absolutely. Well, Alan, a genuine privilege. We'll catch up again before the end of the year, no doubt.
No doubt, yeah.
Ryan and myself are in a joy of happiness now because we've been joined by a debut co-presenter. It's always exciting, Ryan, when we have somebody who's new to the whole outside broadcast routine, is it not?
It is. Welcome to the show.
Mary Cook. How are you, Mary?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Alex. How are you?
Yeah, well, we were waiting for yourself, Mary, so that's all right. We're here now, so we feel as though our journey is complete and you can do all the interviews now. This is your first ever Lincolnshire show.
It is.
You've already had a general wander around as you made your way to the media centre to get your badge and everything else. What are your initial thoughts?
It's very big. I can definitely say that for sure. I'm really enjoying the sort of vibe of it at the moment. It's quite quiet right now, isn't it? It's waiting to pick up some more people, I think. But I'm enjoying that sort of calm before the storm sort of...
No Metallica, as far as I'm aware, will actually be appearing.
No Metallica today, unfortunately. But I'm sure that we'll be.
Rumour has it they were so blown away by our last sort of work with them that they felt they couldn't cope.
Oh yeah, no, that was definitely the problem. They were just too impressed by me, so I had to be here to not show them up, you know.
Events manager, will be currently postgraduate journalism student doing MA journalism. Share with us, Mary, what kind of brought you here to the joys of the University of Lincoln from Kent?
I initially arrived in Lincoln in 2018 to do a course in English, and I swapped over to sound and music production after my first year just because I felt a bit more creative. And then I just stayed here. I just accidentally decided that this was it. And I enjoyed myself, I enjoy the city, and I enjoy the culture. So this is nice to get to know a bit more of the local culture, a bit more of the local feeling and the people and the rural roots that Lincolnshire is built on.
Absolutely. As we've often said, the University of Lincoln, a bit like Royston Vasey, you'll never leave. Or maybe not. It's all about our precious stuff. Okay, we're going to be wandering around in a few moments. Ryan, Mary and myself, you're listening to Siren Radio's Midweek Drive on location at the Lincolnshire Show 2023, and it's day two. Siren Radio continues its support via Signet PR, of course, at the University of Lincoln, of the Links and Knots Air Ambulance people, who, of course, actually one of our real clients a matter of a year ago. And that's truly wonderful. But we're here to actually find out a little bit more about the Links and Knots Air Ambulance, saving lives every day. Mary, are you excited by this potential interview? Your first one, of course.
Absolutely, yeah, this is very exciting. I always see the air ambulance going over Lincoln. It's always very nice to see the helicopter, so it'll be nice to get to know the people as well behind it.
Absolutely. Well, I think we'll have a spokesperson coming up in a few moments to actually utter a few words, or else they'll actually hide behind their banner. It's one of those two things will actually happen. We'll just see where things actually go. A reminder, you're listening to Siren Radio on location at day two of the Lincolnshire Show 2023. And I think if all being well, if we can sort out all the other bits and pieces, we've got a perspective, well, a former sort of patient of somebody who's actually within that. So would you like to tell us exactly why you're here today?
Well, I'm here to support the Lincolnshire Knots Air Ambulance, because almost without a doubt, I wouldn't be here at all. Because 8 years ago, I had a very serious road traffic collision and ended up having a ride. I've got no memory of it at all, because they induced me into a coma and then flew me to Hull. So a charity that I think is very, very well worth supporting. And my eldest son was rescued by another charity from Bath and Wilts, from Salisbury Plain when he was in the army. He broke his pelvis and he was flown to hospital by an air ambulance, and both of us have really survived because of air ambulance charities.
That's a genuinely sort of heartwarming story, and it shows the importance of actually having this emergency service literally within our county, our joint adjacent counties, of course, because Lincolnshire and Nottinghamshire are very much part of the whole process of the Links and Notts Air Ambulance. Mary, any questions you'd like to put forward at this stage?
I don't think so. I think
it's almost covered. You see, there we are, perfect from that point of view. Listen, how can people actually support the Links and Notts Air Ambulance if they're not at the show today? Would it be a case of going to ambucopter.org.uk?
Yes, absolutely. Or just Google Links and Notts Air Ambulance and you'll find lots and lots of information and a link to the Links and Notts Air Ambulance charity.
And how has the show been for yourself and the rest of the team here? I mean, we've got a range of folk there. We've got the lottery people at the front there. We've got a charming young lady who's basically got the Links and Notts Air Ambulance by your side there. How's it been shaping up?
Very good. The weather was yesterday was absolutely fantastic. We've had lots and lots of interest. People have been flying the virtual reality helicopter at the other stand on the other side of the showground at the blue light area. And lots of interest. And things are going really well, thank you.
Well, I know our pre-shows are very keen to actually promote the blue light area. We'll just actually finish at present by saying, as well as ambucopter.org.uk, you can also be followed on Facebook at LNAACT. And of course, actually, I think that's Twitter, actually, at LNAACT. And you can also be liked, of course, with the at ambucopter. I believe that is that the socials as far as we're concerned?
Yes.
Well, we've been joined now from the Links and Air Ambulance by the fabulous soul who is indeed, let her introduce herself.
Linda Patrick.
Linda, your title, of course, is PR and Comms Manager for the Lincolnshire, the Links and Notts Air Ambulance. Great company, a great organisation, a great charity, as I know, as say, from some of my students who worked in creating some social media coverage last year with respect to the whole thing. Just share with us once again, we've heard already from our last interviewee about how it saved his life and his son's and how important that is from a personal point of view, but share with us, why did you get involved with the organisation?
I wanted to make a difference. So I'm Lincolnshire born and bred. This is my county. I'm very proud of it. And Links and Notts Air Ambulance, it's sort of like the charity. I always think it's a charity that you want to support, you don't ever want to use, because obviously if you are in need of the air ambulance, then you're having a really, really bad day. What I do in my small way, I am helping keep a helicopter flying every day, going around the counties, saving lives. And that's what it's about for me, the pride.
Very much. Ryan, any thoughts, questions for yourself?
I'm just looking at one of your signs that says that you cover about 3,500 square miles, so as far north as Hull and as far down as Stamford and to the coast and so on. How does the ambulance, because it is not government funded, it's solely reliant on donations and so on, how do you maintain the service when you are reliant on donations?
Yeah, I mean, last year we needed 8 million to keep the helicopter in the air and to keep critical care cars on the road. So we have, the helicopter flies from 7 in the morning till 2 in the morning every day. So we have night vision goggles now, which allows us to do extended night flying. And then when the helicopter is tucked away in bed, we have a critical care car that goes out on the road, partly because of funding, but also partly because people are asleep, so there's less accidents, less need. Nottinghamshire, different sort of incidents happen. A lot of, sadly, stabbings and assaults in the city centre of Nottingham. So we have a car there, again, 5 days a week. The only reason we can do this is the generosity of the public. The people do like us. You know, they see the need. They know we have lots and lots of rural locations. Agriculture, we're here at the Link Show today. A lot of farmers rely on us because, did you know, there are no major trauma centres, major trauma hospitals in Lincolnshire. So if you're on the edge of Skegness, Boston, you have a car accident or your agriculture injury, that helicopter can get there in about 15 minutes. It can then fly someone to Hull or to Nottingham, which is the nearest major trauma centre. So that's the need. And because people realise that need, and certainly, say, rural areas of certain parts of Lincolnshire, they are very endearing. They love us. They do like us. They see that need. And we are very fortunate that they do want to support us. And the money, we are very, very pleased to say, does come in. But we are getting more costs. You know, it's getting harder and harder to keep this service going. Our jobs are going up. Last year we had 1,600 missions. We were called out 1,600 times. We're already beating that this year by June. So our costs are going to go up. So we can only do that by relying on the goodwill and the general public.
this air ambulance isn't our air ambulance, it's your air ambulance, it's Lincolnshire's air ambulance, because they are the ones that are funding it, and we are so grateful for that money that does come to enable us to do what we do.
I was going to say, what more could, you know, like in terms of government funding, local authority funding, would that be beneficial to, because donations, it's not a necessarily reliable source of income, it's not fixed, it could go up, it could go down over time. What more could the country itself do to support air ambulances, not just in Lincolnshire and Nottinghamshire, but across the whole country?
Yeah, there's about 24, 26 air ambulances across the UK, so that covers Northern Ireland and Scotland. We all join an organisation called Air Ambulances UK, so they are the main body, the national body, that do the lobbying for the government, so they're the ones that act on our behalf and talk to MPs and try and put our cause forward. Yeah, if we got government funding, that would be great. However, we are governed by ourselves. We are Quality Care Commission registered, so we can make our own rules to a certain extent. So what I'm being told, and I'm not a clinician, but if a new drug came onto the market and we decided, our clinician said, yeah, we need that drug on our helicopter, because we are CQC registered ourselves, we can do all our own applications and maybe get that drug quicker into our helicopters than if we were at NHS. So there's some good things about being self-governed, but we don't get money from the government. So it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? You know, one, we like to manage ourselves, and we do a very, very good job. We're very, very highly respected, and we have very high standards, which we are, you know, checked on, if you like, by CQC. But if we had that government funding behind us, is that better? Because we have that, as you say, that reliance that we know we're getting that money. So it's a you know, swings and roundabouts on both ways, really.
And there's some very comprehensive answers there to some fascinating questions in terms of obviously the importance and the significance of the Lincs and Notts Air Ambulance. I know I've worked with the North Yorkshire Air Ambulance, and they share some of those thoughts. Mary, any thoughts from yourself?
I'm just so happy that you guys exist. I mean, honestly, genuinely. I'm just thinking in terms of, like, your outreach to the public, what more could the public do, like, to actually help to spread the word and to bring in more donations and to bring in more support?
Loads of ways. I could go on forever about this. Right, I mean, sign up to the lottery. So we have our own lottery, you know, from £1 a week, people don't miss. So come online, go on to ambucopter.org.uk, sign up to the lottery. So that's something that you would just, you know, the money would go out your monthly pay packet. We do some really, really great challenges. So if you are fit and healthy and want to do the London Marathon, I want to do the coast to coast cycle route, climb Kilimanjaro next year, we've got that on. So to do personal challenges, get fundraising. We've got one gentleman, I think he did the London Marathon this year, and I think he raised £12,000. Amazing. One person doing that for us is absolutely unbelievable. So we're building up our challenges. We've got one next month, climb Snowdon at night. I did that last year. It is absolutely fantastic. It is brilliant. You climb up in the dark with your torches. And a team of us, 13 of us, we raised £7,000. So you can get involved in that way. General donations. If you're a shop owner or got a business, have one of our buckets. Put it on your stall. Put it in your shop. And even, you know, every penny, it does all build up. So even those small donations are brilliant. Seriously, legacies. If you really feel strongly about Lincs and Notts Air Ambulance and want to support us, leave a gift in your will. 1% of your estate, again, means an awful lot to us. So that would be absolutely phenomenal if people could leave a gift in their will. Regular donations as well, if someone wanted to do a monthly donation. So there's loads and loads and loads and loads of ways. If you run or part of a group like Women's Institute, you know, get us round to come and do a talk, and we can, you know, donations again. People are very generous, but I'd say if you really want to help us and support us, www.ambucopter.org.uk, and it tells you loads of things of how people can get involved.
And that was a first-class delivery, as we'd expect from, of course, a comms and PR manager for Lincs and Notts Air Ambulance. Thank you so much for your time today. We'll just remind people again, in addition to that website, I think I kind of stumbled through this before with our previous sort of thing, you can be followed at NAACT, and that, I think, is Twitter, and Facebook, it's to be liked at Ambucopter, right?
That's right, yeah, thank you.
It's only fitting that we have the station manager of Siren Radio based at the University of Lincoln, that's Ryan Jones, and of course a postgraduate and indeed graduate of the University of Lincoln, Mary Cook, on our little audio promenade today. I can wear my hat as programme leader for communications and PR as we actually talk now to the University of Lincoln's very own Kirsty Bolam. I've seen your Kirsty message and signature on so many emails. It's good to meet you in person.
Yeah, lovely to meet you too.
So, Kirsty, share with us. We've got a wonderful, as you'd expect, stand from a top 40 university like the University of Lincoln, with, of course, our wonderful mascots there in other areas. How's it been going? Have you enjoyed your Lincolnshire show? Is this your first Lincolnshire show?
No, I've done it many years. But, yeah, it's been going really, really well. We've got, touch wood, we've had really lovely weather so far, and we've had lots of people coming in, and we've got lots of exciting things that are drawing people in. So we've got our robots that are a big draw in, so that's definitely, people have been gathering crowds to come and look at Spot the Dog, so, yeah.
Well, as I say, Lincoln and artificial intelligence, they go together hand in hand, although I can say that, as far as I'm aware, this programme has not been produced by ChatGPT, although, just having a little glitch out there. Ryan, any questions for yourself?
We're going to have to restart you then, Alex.
Reboot.
With the robotics and the agricultural setting that we're in now, how important is it that something like a university, which is a place of research and learning and so on, but also development of new technologies, is it that something like this is developed in an agricultural focused county by the university, one of the universities in that county?
I think it's so important. I think it's, you know, to have the research that within the county that it's going to impact on. I think it's just really important, and I think, like you say, it's such an you know, it's, the county has such a big farming background, and I just think it's just really important that the university is part of that. And I think it's part of our whole strategy in that we want to be part of pushing the county forward and making it better. And I think by having it in-house, so to speak, it's helping people around us, and we see exactly what it is people need. We know the struggles that people have and what it is they're looking for and what they need help with. So I just think it's so important for us.
Kirsty, I see from your job title you're also corporate events and graduation manager. So Mary, you've obviously had one graduation, etc. Now's your chance to feedback, because we love at the University of Lincoln lots of feedback, and why not have it a live feedback here? How is your experience in terms of the organisation?
Of the graduation. I thought it was really good, actually.
Good answer. Kirsty, stop holding up that board.
I mean, I had the morning graduation, so that was a little bit of a struggle because I had to get up quite early in the morning and walk up the hill in those awful high heels.
That, quite early, coming like 10 a.m, so obviously yeah. it's always
you know,
good.
Student life, you know.
Now, Kirsty, on a serious note, this is a huge operation that you guys put together. I know that Julie used to have lots of challenges each year, and you think, it's simple. You just get the cathedral, you book it in there, sort through that. I mean, we now have upwards of, at any particular year, a fair number of students graduating, a few thousand. You're already probably in your mindset, whilst you're here at the Lincolnshire Show, you're doubtless thinking about, we need to have cut-off points for staff registering, etc. Just talk us through the processes that you go through. Is it just a case of, piece of cake, just easy peasy?
I wish it was. No, it's definitely a year-round process organising graduation. I mean, even to some extent, it's 2 years, because we have to get the cathedral and the castle booked 2 years in ahead, because obviously they're very popular venues and everyone wants to hold their events there. So we do have to get our dates in really early. But yeah, we're looking at the, you know, student numbers, looking at them, trying to put the different schools together to configure them so that they aren't too big ceremonies, and trying to fit them all in, working around the cathedrals. You know, that they're a place of worship, that's their main role, so working around their service times, and just getting everything in place, working with lots of different suppliers to all bring it together. So it's a really big job, but I absolutely love it. And as you mentioned, I was taught very well by Julie Corden, so yeah,
exactly. I mean, and Judy's currently out of the country, which is why she's not here today. She's also having another child. Yes, two little Cordens will be going around the whole sort of system. Mary, you of course not content with one graduation, in the near future there'll be a post graduation thing as well, so when is that sort of likely to be gearing up for?
Well, for me, I'm doing a part-time master's, which means that I'm taking it nice and slow and doing it over the course of 2 years. So I've just finished my first year of postgraduate, so I'm looking to graduate probably somewhere in September 2025?
Which, for the, will that, because the postgraduate ceremonies, are they January as well? Or, I mean, again, this is really to provide you with ample information so that you get it equally as right for Mary Cook second time round as first time round.
It is postgraduate. It depends when you started, really, and when you finish, and you know, the different places. But usually, it's the kind of the winter ceremonies that people do. Our summer ones, which is September time, that's tends to be more undergraduate. But it doesn't mean that you can't attend that one if you're finishing time for it.
You become a graduate group. You attend every graduation ceremony just because you. I mean, some academic staff do that, I believe. But there we are.
They do. Yes. Yeah. People do love graduation. It is a great event to be part of. So.
As I say, a seasoned pro, come this September, I'll have done 30 years at the University of Lincoln, prior to that, University of Humberside as well, of course, and Lincolnshire and Humberside. How many years have you been with us?
Nearly 8 years, September.
Wow, there we are.
Yes.
And any happy memories you'd like to share with us?
Oh, too many. I've been involved in lots of different exciting things. So that's the great thing about working at the university. You get involved in lots of different things. And to be part of, you know, when you're with the events team, I started out, I did open days and graduation. So I see people on their first interaction with the university to them.
And their exit.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So very lucky.
Kirsty, I mean, I can see that you would have no qualms about receiving an email saying, have you done your stress assessment online survey as yet? Something that Ryan and myself were faced with this morning. It's all very stressful. But anyway, University of Lincoln, people are listening to this and they say, oh, that's very good. How do they get in touch with us? Is it simply a case of lincoln.ac.uk?
Yeah, if you go to our website, you can get those different contacts. It depends what you want to speak to people about, but there'll be a list of contact details there. In terms of recruitment, if you're interested in joining the university, you can look at inquiries at lincoln.ac.uk, and our team in the marketing team, recruitment team, will be happy to answer any questions you have.
So, you know we're from Siren Radio. You know that Siren Radio's biggest sponsor is the University of Lincoln, technically our only sponsor. But in terms of that side of things, when are you going to come to the studios? When are you going to take part in one of Ryan's great shows, one of my midweek drive morning shows? When are you going to join Mary in the whole thing? When are you going to actually physically be there?
Well, whenever you want me, I'll come.
Well, it's recorded now. It's done and dusted. Kirsty Bolam. Corporate events, and there's so much we can talk about that, but we haven't got time, and graduation manager, huge thanks, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Ryan and Mary have decided to actually just hover outside of this fantastic stand, which is actually Robert H. Crawford & Son, Frithville, Boston, of course. And I see also in 2021, it was celebrating 100 years. So by my calculations, and hopefully my numeracy is still there, that means that we're into its 103rd year. Somebody who'll be able to help us with that is the gentleman we're speaking to now from Robert H. Crawford & Son. And your name, sir, is?
Robert Crawford.
Wow. This is superb. So presumably the son or?
Third generation, grandson. My grandfather started the business in 1921, was a blacksmith in Frithville, and then progressed to the business we have today.
Wow. I mean, this is terrific. It just shows the sense of the universe bringing us together, basically. I never thought when I woke up this morning I was speaking to the legend that is Robert H. Crawford, third generation. Robert, Mary here was commenting on how farm vehicle technology, etc. It's fascinating. Any initial questions from what you've seen so far?
Well, I was just absolutely enthralled by that self-mowing mower over there. I was thinking, it must be a Lincolnshire special. How does it fare on hills?
Yeah, not too bad on hills. There is actually a four-wheel drive version for if you've got some particularly hilly ground, and they work very well. We have hide a wire in the ground, or now the latest ones are all work by GPS, so no wire in the ground. You just drive it around the perimeter of the lawn so it knows where the edge is and leave it to mow the lawn night or day.
Artificial intelligence, technology, gardening, humanity, all of those sort of things, critical to that. I mean, what changes have you seen in the industry? I mean, so you said that your grandfather started up the business back in 1921, so three generations working through that. Is it a case of when you talk to your father as well, is it a case of, wow, there have been some changes over here, or is it a case of, no, there's a through line, we can see this?
Obviously from my grandfather's days, drastic changes. Obviously he started shoeing horses, and now we're on, obviously...
horseless vehicles.
That's right, yeah. Now there's the progression of tractors, and obviously this sort of last 10 years, and what I've seen is the sort of more the GPS control, the more technology is going into the tractors. They're becoming very to reduce labour and get the job done quicker is the aim of the game really nowadays.
We've heard a lot about driverless cars. Do you think that we are heading towards an era where you've got driverless farm machinery as well, and indeed garden mowers too?
Well, yeah, we've obviously now got driverless tractors where we can sit in the tractor and it will drive itself up and down the field. And coming is the first generations of sort of robot tractors in the fields that we can leave them to do the job sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm sure it will come in time.
Ryan, thoughts from yourself?
One of the issues facing farmers and so on is rising costs, fuel and so on. Is this something where like future technologies like electric motors and stuff like that would be sustainable to farmers, or would there simply not be enough power in a charge to do a you know, harvest a crop in a field? Is traditional fossil fuel the way to continue, or is there a scope for electricity?
On the small side, on the sort of compact tractor side, there are a couple of manufacturers now gone down the electric route and tried, but on the sort of larger scale agricultural tractors, still very much on the sort of the diesel engines, and I think they are struggling with getting the capacity out of the batteries to give a full day's work. Other are looking into different sort of fuel types, the methane and even into hydrogen is probably more the route I think that the agricultural market will go, unless the sort of battery technology improves drastically and they can get a full day's work out of one charge sort of thing, yeah.
Robert, research from the Young Farmers Association suggests that the average age of a farmer these days is 57. Now, obviously, you're many years away from reaching that sort of scenario, probably in your late 30s, I would have said. But anyway, in terms of that, what's the will there be a Robert H. Crawford and son? I mean, what's the legacy for, as I say, after 103 years, the company of Robert H. Crawford and son?
I've three children, one son, and he's also called Robert. So
nice.
Hopefully there's a progression there. But he's at the moment very interested in the tractors and the machinery. So yeah, it'd be nice to think he would carry it on.
Fantastic. And if people want to find out more details, they can't get to the show, rhcrawford.com. Is that the place to go to?
Yeah, that's the website, or onto look at our Facebook page, yeah, where we keep up to date with all the new things that are happening. Yep.
Have you enjoyed the show so far?
Yeah, yesterday was excellent. Yeah, very good turnout, lovely weather. Just fingers crossed for today. Hope the sun keeps shining.
And then, is that it for the show season, or do you turn up at various other shows? As a case of, now we've got to be designing our next generation of machinery.
We've got a couple more shows this summertime, but obviously, in a few weeks' time, we're getting busy into harvest and things. So yeah, we have to concentrate on that and keep all our customers happy and keep them going through harvest.
Well, huge thanks for today. I know it's often a little bit bizarre when you get a random soul coming up saying, "Would you like to do an interview?" So you've coped extremely well with that. Is there a significance to the orange tie?
All our vehicles are, we call it a Crawford Flame Orange, so we have an orange theme that we've had for years, so yeah, we have the orange ties just to
help our social media understand that. Radio, not so much, but what the hey. Yeah. Robert, huge thanks, take care now.
All right, thank you very much.
We have wandered away from, obviously, our auctioneers, and we were stopped, quite literally stopped, by someone who said, have you got a few minutes of your time, etc. I said, yes, I said, but only if you give us a radio interview, so a fair exchange, always good. We're delighted to speak to Neil Bennett, yes, the Neil Bennett from Shelter. How are you, Neil?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Great, and delighted that you actually stopped us, because it's always nice to actually be asked to do work like that, but I don't think you were expecting media people to actually say, right, we'll just interview you now, okay?
Yeah, well, it's great to talk to people, because I believe in this charity Shelter, and we're here fundraising today at the Lincolnshire Show, and because last year at Shelter we helped out an amazing 11,000 people plus with some dire situations. We also took in 5.1 million phone calls last year at our call centre. So we're here today to fundraise, and we're doing it in a fun way. We're introducing people to the Shelter Lottery. And I like to be truthful and upfront. It is a little direct debit for £1 a week, and it enters you into our lottery where there is a top prize of £500 on offer every week. But more importantly, every pound that you guys help us with today, 79p goes back to the charity. That is one of the highest figures in the UK. We do offer a nice little first prize every week of £500 with some other little prizes along the way. But most importantly about all of this, we don't hold you to any contract in any situation whatsoever. You can actually play for as long as you can. It's £1 with no funds taken for 5 weeks. So there you are. Welcome to the Shelter Lottery.
Fantastic stuff, and I think it's a very important aspect that you've raised there. Of course, I noticed that there's a begambleaware.org system there, so it is important, as you said, don't overplay for that part of you. But Shelter, as you say, it's a vital charity. I share my office at the University of Lincoln with Owen Clayton, who's done a lot of work with homeless charities and areas within that. Shelter can bridge that effectively. Mary, thoughts for yourself?
I just was wondering, with the Lincolnshire-based homelessness, what sort of things do you do to target the local area, and what sort of situations do you find that people come to you to help them with?
Well, basically, Shelter, as you know, is a UK-based charity. So we have a set amounts for various like Lincoln, Suffolk, Essex, all over the county. So we spread it out a bit. It's not just about people who are homeless. It's about people within their situations. We do put them in contact with various financial institutions to help them. And we help out with white goods. So there's an array of things we do at Shelter. So we're doing what we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And Neil, I detect an accent which isn't necessarily Lincolnshire, more, shall we say...
I'm a tractor boy.
Really?
Town supporter.
Wow.
Have been since 1968.
Hey, so Ed Sheeran gets played consistently in your household.
Ed Sheeran gets played a lot in my household.
And are you looking forward to derbies with Norwich next season?
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the Canaries. I've got one over here. My wife's from Norfolk.
No. A canary, well, it just goes to show that love can conquer all.
Oh, yes, it sure can. Norfolk and Suffolk, hey-ho.
Yeah. Ryan.
You mentioned we received 5.1 million calls last year.
Yes.
Is that nationwide or is that more narrow area?
That was actually nationwide at our call centre, so the 5.1 million was nationwide calls.
And what do you... Sorry, I'm going into serious mode now.
Right.
What do you think that says about the UK, or is there... Is there more that society can do to support people who need to use services like shelter and so on?
Yeah, I don't want to go really too deep with the situation
of
all of that. Yes, there is more that certain people can do. But this is why I choose to operate and work for Shelter, because they are a wonderful charity.
Neil, you've raised a number of key things there, and I think bonuses, you have sort of reached a wider audience thanks to the medium of radio and podcast as well.
Well,
so thank you for that. Thanks to your wife as well, of course, for doing wonderful things from that perspective. A name check for your wife?
Tracy Bennett.
Tracy Bennett, there we are, fantastic. Tracy has just provided Ryan with some further details, which I'm sure we'll look at. Keep up the excellent work, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Can I interest in one of you three to sign up today?
We're very tempted, but you see, it's so biased. I mean, if we did it for one, it's a challenge. We'll agonise over it.
No problem.
Take care. And with the brass band about to start up in the background, it's time for us to actually ask Mary Cook what she's made of her first official Midweek Drive Siren Radio audio promenade and location report.
Oh, yes, I've been really enjoying it. We were talking about the cultural observations of a southerner somewhere norther than where I'm from. And it's been absolutely lovely to see the sun's out and the band's going. And got a very nice loud drum that we've got going on. It's just been lovely and cheery. Everyone's got a smile on their face. We enjoyed the dirt bikes, didn't we? It's all been really, really interesting to see the rural side of Lincolnshire. It's something you don't really get inside the inner city. So it's lovely to see the local people, the local atmosphere, and see more of the local businesses and enjoy a bit of Lincolnshire life.
Probably one of the most comprehensive answers I've ever asked or ever received from highlights of the show. Did you have any particular favourites?
I really enjoyed the dirt bikes. I love that sort of...
Jamie Squibb and partner.
Yeah, they were brave. They're very, very brave. Jumping over this lorry that's in front of me with the huge crash mat in front of it. You can't help but hold your heart in your chest for a second and think, are they going to make it? Is it going to be all right? But they did, because they're professionals. Quite right too.
Ryan Jones, radio manager extraordinaire from Siren Radio, your thoughts?
I mean, it's been now my seventh Lincolnshire show over the years. And it's always great to see the variety of exhibitions that are on, or the different animals that are on show, and the work that goes into caring for them and developing different business models to support the county as a whole. And it's great to see lots of residents, maybe from the county or have come into Lincolnshire to see what's on offer, enjoying what's available at the show.
I particularly enjoyed the auctioneers, although a special mention, I think, to Kirsty Swan from the University of Lincoln, who was caught very much on the hop, but coped admirably. Any favourites from yourself in terms of our interviewees?
It's always great to see... I mean, when you see pictures or film of farm harvesting taking place and so on, you think, oh, you know, they're big machines. But when you're actually stood next to a combine harvester or a tractor, you think these are actually giant machines. And the amount of work and skill and training it takes just to work one piece of machinery alone, let alone a whole infrastructure, is bewildering. So I always like seeing all the agricultural machinery.
You've been listening to Siren Radio On Location with Ryan Jones and with, of course, Mary Cook, and yours truly, Alex Levchuk. This has been part two, day two, of course. You can still find part one, of course, via southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Just look for Lincolnshire Show 2023. And for those of you who might be listening to this on Siren Radio, possibly on a Sunday or maybe on another day, we wish you well. And don't forget, book your tickets early for Lincolnshire Show 2024.